creative journey is not an easy one. We're here to help. The Lightning Rod is a safe space to talk about branding, marketing, business, and the creative industry. Today's host is Min Nguyen.
And we are back. Hello, my name is Min Nguyen, and you're listening to The Lightning Rod. All right, folks. So in today's episode, I'm going to be talking about five different attitudes that really are not going to get you far in the art world. And I want to keep this episode a little bit more non-scripted, just because I want to speak from my heart, but also from the experiences that I've heard from other people that I've spoken to in the industry. I wanted to just keep it a little bit more flowy and a little bit more loose this time around. So this might end up being a shorter episode. But I also want to pick advice that I feel like can be intersectional for different mediums, like or different platforms and different industries, like animation or illustration, packaging design, etc., etc. So these are the five most common attitudes I've noticed that most people complain about, whether they work in animation or illustration, etc. Number one is keeping needless secrets. What do I mean when I say that? And what is the big distinction? So obviously, if I sign something like an NDA, I can't really talk about what projects I'm working on. I can't really talk about my character designs or my prop designs or whatever I was hired to do. I can't talk about events that are coming up with my company, et cetera, et cetera. So that's all completely understandable, that there are sometimes secrets that we have to keep for professional purposes, but also for our brand purposes. Like, I'm not going to tell somebody exactly some of the techniques that I use, because that's kind of personal and private to my own brand. But with that being said, you will bet your sweet ass, I will tell you where I went to get my business cards. I will tell you the manufacturer I used for my pins. I will tell you where I went to get my postcards done. I will tell you all that kind of information, because at the end of the day, your brand is going to look different than my brand. And I'm just providing you with someone who just made my products, like a secondhand person. Whatever you print on there, that's your business and that's your brand. So that's kind of a secret that I'm not going to keep. Or something I learned on the job, like something that I learned when I was mentoring someone. Just very good advice that I've learned along the way that isn't an NDA enclosed or isn't going to affect my brand at all. If it's going to help your brand, if I can help you in any way, then I'm willing to extend that hand to you. But there are people out there who, believe it or not, they're not willing to do the same. There's this one girl, and it was funny, one of my coworkers, we were talking about this. This one girl, she just reached out to her old friend from college asking her where she got her t-shirts printed, and she wouldn't even disclose that information. And that left a really bad taste in her mouth, in my mouth. Like, when she told me that, I was like, seriously, she won't even disclose where she got her t-shirts printed? Like, that seems a little ridiculous to me, because at the end of the day, it's going to be a different design on her t-shirt than on my friend's t-shirt. It's going to be very different. They're not going to be the same t-shirt. So disclosing things like a manufacturer is not a big deal. Or sharing something that you learned that improved your art, like how to draw hands better or how to do perspective better. All of those things are so fundamental that it's not a brand secret. It's not anything that can hinder your business in any way at all. It's not something that you have to sign an NDA over. So extending that helping hand out and just being a good friend, that's all I can really say, and not keeping these needless, unnecessary secrets about your craft, it just seems a little petty and frankly a little ridiculous to me. Which brings me to my next point, is not collaborating with other artists, just staying in your bubble and not meeting up with anyone. So point number two and point number three really kind of go hand in hand. I might combine them together. So not collaborating with other artists, when I say this, I mean professionally. You're not working with them on their collaboration projects. You're not doing fun projects with them outside of work or school. You're just staying in your lane, doing the assignments for class, or just doing your personal work that is exclusively you. It's really not going to get you far. because no one has ever worked with you. No one knows how you work. No one knows if you're compatible to work with. If you just consistently stay in your bubble and aren't reaching out to other people, it's a really big problem. This is one industry where you really can't be unsociable. You have to reach out to other people. I have friends in the art world from North Carolina. I have a friend in LA. Actually, I have multiple friends in LA. I have friends in New York. I have friends all across this country because we collaborate together on projects. We work together all the time. And I'm actually doing a collaboration over the summer with about 15 other artists that I have known in the industry for a very long time, and they agreed to do this collaboration with me. So with that being said, it's really important. It's really, really, really important to have those kinds of connections. And that collaboration that I'm personally working on, I'm not getting paid to do that. No one's getting paid to do that. We're just doing it because we love art and we want to grow our portfolios and we want to just do something as friends on a collaboration together and make a very cool product that we can all be proud of at the end of the day. So not collaborating with other artists, just staying in your lane is the fastest way to have nobody know what you're capable of and nobody know what you're capable of on a professional level. Because it's one thing to see someone's art. There's a lot of talented people in this industry, but we also want to know, are you likable? Are you fun to talk to? Are you relatable? Are you a nice human being? Are you reliable? Do you turn in your work on time? How do you work? What is your skills outside of your talent in art? So collaborating with other artists is the fastest way to introduce that side of you to other people in the community. So I highly recommend that. But that brings me to my third point, is the attitude that's going to kill you is outside of professional collaborations with people is not going to events or meetups that are just social but artistically related. So for example, I have a very good friend of mine and she invited me to do a trailer viewing with her for a new animated movie. And everyone in that circle were animation related people. They were all working in some capacity in the animation or art world. And I met like about 7 new people that day. And if I had said, no, I don't feel like going to that, I wouldn't have met these very talented artists that are working on different freelance projects. I wouldn't have met all these other people. And we're not doing a collaboration. We're not making art together. We're not colleagues, or we are colleagues, but we're not co-workers together on anything. We're just casually watching a trailer for an upcoming movie and we're reacting to it and we're having a good time. So even those social meetups and those social events are very beneficial because it puts your foot in the door and it puts your name out there as, hi, I'm a cool person and I'm interested in the same things you are. I just want to be friends and be social with people. That's really cool. And it will get your foot in the door possibly. But ultimately, it's just good to meet people and have friends who are in the industry with you. They're going to help you along the way, especially if you need a job, if you need freelance work. That's one of the fastest ways to get that. For example, in my personal life, I have a great friend from North Carolina, and we met on just a social meetup online this year over Zoom. And we started talking and we became very, very good friends. And just last week, he texted me asking if I was available for some client work that he couldn't do because he felt like he was a little overwhelmed. And he asked me, hey, I've seen your portfolio. I've seen your work that you shared. I think you'd be a good fit for this project. Would you want to hop on it? Unfortunately, I had to decline because I was really busy with my own freelance work. But with that being said, that is how you get some freelance work, is just going to these social meetups, connecting with other people, networking, but also making genuine friends and genuine connections with people that are super hyped about you. That's so important. So number 2 and 3 really, really go hand in hand, is when you don't collaborate with others professionally and they won't have a chance to see your art, but also when you just don't talk to people socially or go to and attend any social meetups, it's gonna really bite you in the butt. It's gonna hurt a lot down the road. Now, That brings me to point number four. And I might spend a little bit more time on this one because I'm guilty of this myself. I'm still getting better at it and I'm working on it. But this one is the killer here. And I want to emphasize it is not reaching out to recruiters or sharing your art online in professional settings. That is going to kill you. Absolutely kill you. There are recruiters who part of their job, for real, is to go online and to go on LinkedIn, go scour that website and look at artists that are posting their art on LinkedIn, seeing what they're doing, reaching out to them. Recruiters are looking at your LinkedIn all the time. They're looking at you. They're trying to find talent. Show them that you are the talent that they are looking for. Do not be scared to reach out to a recruiter. Do not be antisocial with recruiters at all. Know your recruiters. Know which recruiter you want to talk to and reach out to them. Add them on LinkedIn. Don't be scared. Do not be intimidated to press that connect button on LinkedIn. Connect with a recruiter, whether that recruiter is from Netflix, DreamWorks, whatever. Connect with that recruiter. And post your work on professional sites like LinkedIn, like ArtStation, like other platforms that are geared towards and recruiter heavy, okay? You want to never be antisocial with them. And I know it's intimidating. I know that there's a giant fear behind it. There's a huge fear of rejection, but that is fine because this is my big advice on that is rejection is part of the game. But what recruiters love to see is they love to see growth. They want to see growth and they want to see consistency. So for example, a great friend of mine, I'm not going to disclose their name, but they applied for a prop design position at Netflix and they were rejected. They did not get that position, but they reached out to the recruiter at Netflix on LinkedIn and said, hey, I would love some more feedback. I would love some more information on how I can improve. And yeah, they got an answer back. It happens. A great friend of mine was a trainee at Disney working on the sequel to Frozen. So they worked on Frozen 2 as a lighting trainee. And they applied to Disney three times, three different occasions. And they reached out to the recruiter and they said, hey, this is my reel. This is my portfolio. How can I improve it? How can I do better, come back stronger? What can I do? And every single time the recruiter reached back, sometimes the recruiter won't. Don't expect that, but sometimes they will. And that feedback is valuable because what that does is even if you got rejected, even if your name was not selected this time, it doesn't matter. The recruiter knows you by your name now. The recruiter knows your face, they know your work, and if you apply again, they might recognize you and they're like, oh, hey, I recognize this person. And if they see growth in your portfolio and they see you have changed and taken back their feedback, that is a huge professional gain for you. That is some clout right there if they can see that you've grown. So that is one of the biggest advices I can give is do not be antisocial with your recruiters for these companies. Don't be shy with them. I get that it's intimidating and that rejection can sting. And it's something that I'm trying to get better at right now is I'm trying to be better about reaching out to recruiters myself. But just know that there are people too. And in the end, it really is a net gain. Even if you don't get what you want, like the job, it doesn't matter. It's a net gain nonetheless because they know your name. They know who you are. You have a presence there now. So just keep working at it and come back stronger. And that brings me to my final point. Whether it's a recruiter, whether it's your professor, whether it's your friends in the industry, do not argue with their critiques. You can politely disagree. You can not take their critiques. You can whatever else, but don't argue with them. No one likes that. No one likes someone that can't take criticism, okay? Like, no one enjoys working with you if you can't take criticism. And I've noticed that the people who don't take criticism very well, their art becomes stagnant and they don't grow. There's this one girl, I'm not going to disclose her name. We'll call her Clara. I'll just call her Clara for the episode. And Clara, I saw Clara's work and I know who Clara is as a person. And she doesn't take criticism very well. And she really doesn't take anyone's criticism or anyone's feedback. And I saw her work lined up together from a decade. She did a decade challenge where this is something I drew in like 2010. And this is something I drew in 2020. And I saw, it's amazing, in a decade, I saw no growth. No, none whatsoever. I saw no progress in her work. None. Clara was completely stagnant. And it shows. And I know her personality. It's someone who just cannot take criticism. You are going to kill your chances. You're going to kill your chances of getting into the industry. You're going to kill your chances of people, frankly, wanting to work with you. It is the death of opportunity when you do not take criticism. Because it says to me, this person doesn't want to grow. They just don't. They're just complacent with their, I don't know how to say this, they're just complacent with their mediocrity. So when you do reach out for collaborations, when you do reach out for social events, when you reach out to people, take what they have to say with a grain of salt if you don't agree with it, for sure. But be polite, be courteous, and thank them for their time, and be pleasant about it. But don't argue with them, and don't be, I don't know how to say it other than unpleasant. That's the fastest way to turn someone off from wanting to work with you. And in this industry, if you cannot take criticism about your work, and it suggests something more extreme. It means that you're not capable or you're unwilling to do revisions. That is scary to a lot of people. If you're unwilling to do revisions on your work and you're unwilling to make it better, then it's kind of a huge turnoff. So bear that in mind moving forward. So that concludes this episode on the five things that are really bad attitudes to have. If you agree with me, let me know. If you disagree with me or you want to add on, or if I missed the mark on a couple of these, let me know as well. I'm always open to hearing from you guys on what you think and on ways I can improve. So let me know in this episode. Thank you so much, and I will see you guys next time. Bye.
Did you know that we have an entire content library for you to learn from? Check out our website for more information. Thanks for tuning in today. The Lightning Rod is powered by the creative folks.